Choose Life, Part 1. I am once again reminded of the simplicity that is in Christ as I ponder this scripture. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Joshua knew the meaning of these words. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our choice is whether or not we will serve the only true God whom Jesus prayed we would know, for to know him is life eternal. As I was meditating on these words, I called to mind countless other scriptures with the same message, choosing life. I have put into two columns the words used in scripture which denote the choice we're making. And we do indeed make this choice all day, every day. And we experience the consequences of that choice. I have included all the scriptural references because they are so worthy of our meditation if we are indeed serious about choosing life. We can choose death or we can choose life, cursing or blessing, the devil or God, flesh or spirit, the carnal mind or the mind of Christ, hell or heaven. We can choose to be born of the flesh or born of the spirit, the old man or the new creature. We can operate in fear or in faith. We can be of this world or the kingdom of heaven, from beneath or from above. We can walk in darkness or in light. We can live by the letter or by the spirit. We can seek things, or we can seek the kingdom of heaven. We can look at the seen things, or we can look at the things unseen. We can live in the without, or the within, from law, or from grace. We can operate under the law of sin and death, or under the law of the spirit of life. We can believe the lies, or the truth. We can operate in the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God, or in the wisdom of God, which is foolishness to man, reaping life everlasting, or reaping corruption. We can be either single-eyed or double-minded. Looking at these two lists, we can quickly see the radical difference between the two states of consciousness, awareness. I would like to refer to the right, life column, as God consciousness, and the left, death column, as sin consciousness. Sin being defined as the belief that we are separated from the God who brought us forth out of himself. We did arrive in this world alive, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. But like Adam and Eve and the prodigal son before us, we very soon lost sight of our oneness with our Father and quickly departed from Father's house, the kingdom of God, to take up residence in a pigsty of our own making. We see from this story of the prodigal son that when our attention is fixed on this world, that which is seen or perceived with the five senses, which Jesus referred to as the world of appearances, or the without, rather than on the kingdom of heaven which is within, we are seeking the things of this world which are temporal, rather than the righteousness that we experience when seeking the kingdom of heaven. We understand neither that when we seek the giver rather than the gift, all the things will be added, nor that all things, all visible manifestations of God's abundance and love, are already ours anyway, as the father told the elder brother of the prodigal. And he said unto him, Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Since we have all thought that we were generated out of man, we therefore have to follow Jesus in the regeneration and be born of the Spirit, or be awakened to our true identity as sons of the living God, the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness. It is possible for me to become aware that the old man or man of sin that I thought I was when I thought myself separated from God was destroyed on the cross, that it was crucified, and that now the Christ is living me. I can experience walking in the light and being cleansed from all sin, mistaken identity, sense of separation, so that I am the light of the world, bringing light into the darkness. I can not only know the truth, but can also know that I am one with that truth, the Son who has made me free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has made it possible for me to cease seeking justification through the law, the things I do or don't do. For I am now under grace and can know that I am justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I can know that I am saved by grace through faith and not by works, that righteousness is not something that I earn, but that it is the gift of God, free for the taking. I can, as Paul did, begin to live not by my own faith, but rather by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that love which passes knowledge, that love from which I can never be separated, is the perfect love that will cast out all the fears which have caused me so much torment since my first thought of separation from my Father, the thought that caused me to be afraid. That thought came from the carnal mind, the father of lies which never abode in the truth, that Jesus called the devil. And by listening to that carnal mind, I chose death. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But that death can now be swallowed up in victory and have no more sting, because I have the capacity to choose life as I was instructed. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? The distinctions are clear. So why do we find ourselves experiencing the cursing that comes from choosing death rather than the blessing of choosing life? I believe God has revealed to me our greatest difficulty in our personal process of choosing life. It can be seen in the scriptural distinction between the single eye and what is referred to as double-mindedness. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I call particular attention to these scriptures because they so perfectly describe our experience when we choose life and also when we don't make that choice. Of course, not making the choice for life is choosing death. There is absolutely no way we can have one foot in each realm without disastrous results. I can personally testify to the hell of attempting to do so and the instability that follows. I have wanted to partake of the wisdom of God while relying on man's wisdom at the same time. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It's like trying to mix oil and water. The still small voice within is instructing me, while the many outside voices of reason are demanding to be heard and obeyed. I do indeed feel like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, as I constantly waver in the muddle of indecision. I have also tried to make decisions based on the letter of the word rather than the spirit, and found out that the letter does indeed kill, that it is only the word spoken to me personally by the Spirit of God inside that bring life. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How true are those words, the flesh profiteth nothing. For every time I've attempted to operate by the letter, I have found myself sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But when I choose to know and serve the only true God by the Spirit, following the direction of the still small voice of the Father who has taken up his abode inside me, rather than by the letter, following the words in a book which very quickly become a list of do's and don'ts, I find myself reaping life everlasting. Looking again at the two juxtaposed columns above, the one representing choosing life and the other choosing death, we must realize that we can't have it both ways. We can't be a little bit under the law and a little under grace. We can't have our attention upon both the seen world of appearances and the unseen world of harmony that is the kingdom of heaven. We are either within, where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, or without, with the fearful and unbelieving who can't know the mystery of the kingdom of God. We cannot straddle the fence between the two. We either believe the truth or we believe the lies. We walk in the light or we walk in darkness. We let the mind of Christ be in us as it was also in Jesus, or remain carnally minded. We have to remain single-eyed and stop trying to jump from one column to the other. We must choose between the two. Only then can we experience the stability of the house built upon a rock which cannot be shaken, no matter how furious the storm. The stability that comes when we cease wavering between two states of consciousness and choose life. That will mean losing the life that is no life at all, and finding the life that is in Christ, the only life that there is. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Again we hear the words, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Do we dare make that choice for life and never again waver between the two choices? We have nothing to lose but that so-called life of instability, which is actually death, and which has brought upon us all the cursing that we so abhor. Is it not time we awaken from our sleep? Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.